The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Let's go, baby!
Are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Are you ready for a break?
Absolutely.
Ready for a break?
Yeah, and so much for that.
It's time for The Break on DallasCowboys.com.
We were on the break!
With Ambar Garcia, Brian Broaddus, Patrick Walker, and Derek Eagleton.
It is Monday, November 20th, 2023, season 19, episode number 74. Welcome to the latest edition of The Break. We are live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star, and today we talk about Cowboys versus Panthers. Cowboys get the win on the road, 33-10. Bring their record to 7-3. We'll break down for you what we think went right and wrong for the Cowboys. There were a few things that are worth talking about that weren't great for the Cowboys yesterday, but all things being considered, another very, very quality win on the road against a lesser opponent. Let's start first with storylines of the game. Let's go around the table. What do we have? Patrick, let's start with you.
When are we going to start putting De'Ron Bland in this Defensive Player of the Year conversation?
He's there.
It needs to happen today, if not last week. I mean, four pick sixes, tied the record. He's one away from breaking the single season record for most pick sixes in a year, and there's still seven regular season games to play. He's been lights out, both with the, like we talked about, the flashy categories, interceptions, pick sixes, but also with the quiet categories with, like, negative target EPA, leads the league in it right now. Second lowest in the history of NGS, only to guess who, Stephon Gilmore, 2019, which was the DPOTY year for Gilmore. Hint, hint. So De'Ron Bland, we had the conversation about if he's the second most important guy on this Cowboys defense, and we said yes, and he goes out and he just continues to prove us right. So for me, that's the biggest takeaway. There are others, and I know we'll talk about it, offensive line, run game, Tony Pollard, but De'Ron Bland, when you look at the front runners and the odds on favorites to win Defensive Player of the Year, all of them are pass rushers, and that's because no defensive back is doing anything near what De'Ron Bland is doing, which is that much more of an argument to put him in the conversation. So I don't know that he wins because of who he's up against, the big hitters, T.J. Watt, names like that, Myles Garrett, Nick Bosa, but start giving this man his roses. He's earning them.
Yeah. Mine would be, do not ingest anything weird prior to a game. Don't try anything different. Anything different or weird that
so what we did on the show before. Friday, that's probably not a good idea going into a game.
Probably not. Yeah. But Micah Parsons, he basically tried some energy drink that everybody else was trying or they've had before. This was his first time having it. He had a scoop of it and then didn't go down well. His stomach was bubbling or something. It was hurting.
His heart was jumping out of his chest.
But then he ended up throwing up twice, I believe, on the sideline or somewhere on the field. And after that, he started feeling better. But he said going into the first...
You always do after you throw up.
Yeah.
Puke and rally.
Sometimes.
Always. Always.
Nice. I've never heard that one
You
before.
Never heard that before?
Oh, no.
Oh, come on. You never saw the movie... why am I drawing a blank on the movie? It was a football movie.
It wasn't the program, was it?
No. Okay.
It sounds like something that would be from the program.
No, it was one of those older football movies, but I see the face of the guy. Billy Bob was his name. Puke and Rally.
Puke and Rally.
Go ahead.
Nice.
That North Dallas 40?
No, it was after that. It was, gosh, why am I drawing a blank? Somebody on Twitter is going to tell me. Go ahead.
Puke and Rally. So he did. He puked and then he rallied up and went into that game and had the most sacks he's had this season.
It was Billy Bob from Varsity Blues.
There we go.
Varsity Blues.
Yeah.
2.5 sacks. And yes, he was saying when he started the game, his heart was absolutely racing. Mm. So, you know, that if you've never had energy drink, that can happen to you.
Don't do it again.
Or caffeine. Was your heart racing when you had that caffeine shot?
I didn't feel good for a little bit. That coffee?
Yeah.
That coffee thing?
That was your first coffee in your life, right?
Ever. First coffee ever. And I walked out of here and I'm like, I'm never doing this again.
He ended up having a great day yesterday. But really, I wanted to point out, and I don't want to mention two things, but my thing was, I've been talking about all week or all last week was the running game. Mm-hmm. And seeing Tony Pollard show some signs of improvement. You saw him getting into that end zone how hard was that run? That was really, really good. And he averaged 5.1 yards per carry. So that was, or not per carry.
Yes, per carry.
Still waking up. But yeah, 5.1, which coffee? Was, I believe, I haven't.
Huh? You need some pre-workout?
No.
Oh, there it is.
And no, you don't have one glass amber today.
And she's back.
Glasses. No, but anyways, it was great seeing some improvement there in the way that he was playing. And he said after the game, he was basically saying he kind of just starting to feel a lot more comfortable just in the offense and some of the things they're doing right now.
Yeah, he did run the ball with, other than that negative 10 yards they had on that Wildcat formation, it was a positive day for him. The receivers did a really nice job of blocking for him downfield, too, when they got him on the edge. And, you know, guys were able to, the linemen, the stuff, the crack tosses, the pin and pulls, all those things that they do pretty well. They showed it yesterday. I want to say that I think when you watch them play on defense, there was a lot of unselfish play on that defensive line to get guys home on some sacks. You know, guys, they knew that they could attack Bozeman, the center, and he was going to have problems. And so you had, you know, you had guys that were willing to drive down inside hard, defensive tackles, get loopers home. There were a couple of times where they knocked Bozeman so far inside on the pick that they were right there like Tank was for sacks. Armstrong, Lawrence, all those guys did a really nice job of helping each other get pressure on this defense line. They had a couple of sacks where they just flat ran past Zavala, the guard. So give Dan Quinn credit again for setting things up inside to get guys home. Give credit to the defensive line for working with each other and making it work. And then give some guys some credit for individual one-on-one pressures that they were able to get in that game. It really did rattle that quarterback quite a bit.
All right, let's dive into some specific players and how they performed. Dak Prescott yesterday, 25 of 38, 68% completion rate, 189 yards, two touchdowns for a 33-point score. Didn't really have huge numbers like he'd been putting up the weeks before, but certainly was efficient in what he needed to do. How did you assess Dak's play yesterday?
I liked it. Didn't turn the ball over. There were a couple of plays, a couple of throws that he liked back. There's one in particular in the end zone that could have been an interception, but it wasn't, so it's not. But for the most part, he didn't try to do too much. And we talked about this going into the game. This Panthers defense, their secondary particularly, they're pretty good. You know, they were sixth rank in the NFL for a reason. And as a unit, they can really make things challenging for you. So Dak Prescott, he didn't press. Some of those throws were great. He dissected their man coverage and absolutely killed their zone coverage. One in particular, if you look at the play to Jake Ferguson. And then also kudos to Mike McCarthy, because some of the play calls he dialed up, not the Wildcats, because let's put those away, please.
We'll talk about that.
We'll get to that. If you look at the Schoonmaker play, for example, the Schoonmaker touchdown, you motion Jake Ferguson over to the tight right side of Schoonmaker, and then he does a soft wheel, and then Schoon goes up the deep seam. Well, then that confuses the coverage, because no matter which one they choose, if you look at that play on film, it's a touchdown either way. But Dak Prescott reads exactly where, and he doesn't hesitate. There's no pump fake. It's bam, there it is. So efficient, timely, and had control of it, the offense, the entirety of the game. Even when the offense kind of stalled on some of those three and out series, you never felt like Dak Prescott and the offense was out of the game.
Kind of felt like, though, this was one of those games of surprise how many contested balls they had to try and catch in this game. And so it was a little bit tougher Patrick was mentioned some of the combination routes. They tried to get Lamb up the sideline one time, which would have been a pretty nice play. They're doing something I love when they do this with when they take Lamb or any one of the receivers and they put them in motion, and it gives them a running start. Mm-hmm. They don't let these corners or safeties have an ability to play them when they're static or just in one spot. So by them running, it gives them an opportunity to get going up the field, though. You know, I love the combinations of those routes, but I got to give Carolina a little bit credit for playing the way they did in the secondary. You know, the way they were able to knock down balls. There was a couple of different times these officials, this Clay Martin group, they were the least penalizing group of all the officials in the league. There were a couple of times where I felt like that Hill had receivers hooked, and then he was able to play offhand, knocking a ball, but they didn't call it. So, okay, you keep playing that way. So it was a challenging day that way, but their ability to run the football, their ability to make some third down plays when they really needed to make some third down plays are what really helped them offensively in this game. It wasn't huge number by any means, but I think Carolina's secondary had a little to do with that.
Yeah, I thought he had a very clean game. Didn't blow up the stats or anything like that. But again, another week of him showing that he can be consistent and just keep doing what he needs to do. So that has been, what, 5 weeks now? Where he's just been week to week, just being
ever since San Francisco.
Yeah. So that's impressive, and Dak Hader's been very quiet right now the past few weeks. So anyways, he done a great job. We also learned that he can line up a receiver. That play didn't lead to absolutely anything, zero gain. But was interesting to see. I would have liked to see what exactly how it would have looked if it would have gone through, but it didn't work out.
Yeah, I noticed, Brian, the same thing you noticed, and I'd mentioned it to Nick during the game. Like, there were a lot of plays yesterday where there was no separation. And that's, to me, it was about the cornerbacks, the defensive backs for that team. They are not a good team, but that part of their team is really good. I don't know that I've seen a team that the Cowboys have played this year that was that tight on these receivers in man coverage. And what the Cowboys had to do in a lot of situations was they'd have to run these route combinations. There was one deeper pass they got. I don't remember how many yards, but it was a scissor route combination where basically they one receiver, the receivers crossed, one receiver took a defensive back and kind of bumped into him. You know, it was kind of a rub route and got somebody open. Then when they did that against man coverage, they were able to get some success. But just manning up and going against those guys, that was a tough day.
I think San Francisco was probably a team that remember how much man coverage played in that game. So there was a lot of contested catches in that game. And I kind of felt like watching that game yesterday that CD might have got banged up a little bit in that game, early in that game. The route that he caught, when you go back and watch it, he catches the drag underneath for about 10 yards, and he avoids the linebacker in the middle of the field, and he kind of gets knocked off balance and then turns it up the field. And it was the same play that they dumped Turpin. So Turpin, like, knees him in the back as he's laying on the ground. But I think there might be something he was dealing with in that game yesterday, because he kind of awkwardly got knocked off balance, and maybe something with his left knee that he's dealing with. Need to check with that a little bit if he's completely healthy. But it was a little bit of a struggle for those guys yesterday.
Yeah, kind of amazing that when I looked back at the score and then the stat sheet, that they didn't have as much offensive production, but scored 33 points. I know one of them was a pick six, but still, that's still a healthy score. You know, when
Carolina,
you talk about
really
the
helped you with the undisciplined, the roughing, the roughing penalty,
a lot of the penalties.
The roughing. You know, drive. I mean, you get the horse collar, you get the roughing. You know, you
kick out of bounds,
Dak gets hit in the head. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of things that they were dealing with yesterday.
I just feel like, and it kind of bared itself out where we talked about, though they were 1-8 coming into this game, that record didn't feel like it matched when you talk about the secondary, how good they are, and then you look at what Chuba Hubbard was able to do when Miles Sanders was able to, you know, get some chunk plays as well, which was the guy I wanted to focus on this coming week. But the run game, I mean, Carolina, they fought hard. Their biggest mistake was, number one, penalties, right? That particular drive, you got two unsportsmanlike penalties, roughing the, and then it's a touchdown. But undisciplined, but also they could not protect Bryce, which we knew going in. And then Bryce did exactly what we said he'd do, which was he didn't want to escape the pocket. He sat in a collapsing pocket time and again and just became a tackling dummy, and that basically killed them. So, but the secondary played well, the running backs played well, but by the time the Cowboys started pulling away, you can't run the ball anymore. You have to be one dimensional, and plays right into their hands.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that they did, maybe coming out of the second half, was even tried to throw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
On our halftime show, Carolina to me was going to lose that game. I just felt like they were going to lose that game, but I also felt like that they could have kept it close the entire game. I know in my notes, and I typed out these my words. I, you know, and I used to describe Carolina's big plays, running the football.
Mm-hmm.
I used late, driven, sealed, angle, hooked, washed, hesitation, guesses, missed, and pancaked. Those are all bad words when you're playing run defense.
No doubt.
And I just went through, and there was some positive run plays, some positive run defense. But you give up a gain of 13, a gain of 7, a gain of 15, a gain of 9, a gain of 14, a gain of 5, you know, another gain of 14, another gain of 8.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very good run defense right now, you know. And I think that Carolina, in that game, I don't think they were going to win. None of us thought they were going to win. But they probably could have kept that game in control and maybe given their quarterback a little bit of a chance if they would have continued on trying to run that football.
Well, right before the Cowboys scoring, right before they scored going into the halftime.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Going into halftime. I was kind of raising my eyebrows a little bit. I'm like, by this time, I thought we would be having Cooper Rush in and taking over. You know, it just didn't feel like the Cowboys completely dominated them. And at times, it made me wonder, man, this does not feel like they're 1-8. Like, playing a team with that kind of record. They were doing some things, and it was making me wonder, okay, are the Cowboys doing that thing that they tend to do sometimes where they just level up with their opponent, they play at their opponent's level, or are the Panthers really doing some things that they're just doing well in this game? And I couldn't, you know, obviously that changed after the halftime and the Cowboys took over that game and everything, but I couldn't really make of it. And remember, this was while we were still dealing with Jimmy Johnson news and us having to upload things on the website, and you're kind of looking up and down and trying to keep up with the game. And it's just one of those, like, what is going on here?
Right.
But you know, I think that this is what I always worry about for the Cowboys when they're playing a lesser opponent, especially a lesser offense, is, will they become enamored with going after the quarterback, right, and they will forget to play sound run defense? Because run defense to me is all about discipline. It's about every person on that defense understanding where they should fit and consistently being in that spot, right? And if you don't do that, if you take a little sidestep or if you try to go around someone because you're trying to get to the passer, right, it throws everything off. And all it takes is one person doing it and you get gashed in the running game. Right. And we talked about it last week that's something that we're a little concerned about, knowing you're going against a team like this. And I think yesterday we saw a little bit of that, where just they were undisciplined. They didn't play the style of run defense that they had been playing against some of the better teams they faced.
I didn't feel like that there were two things that they didn't handle very well was Carolina's run game overall, and then Adam Thielen. I didn't feel like they had a really good answer for him. And it, you know, it's you know, Adam Thielen's going to make plays, you know, but man, it could have turned into, and I think that Greg Olsen said it very well just watching the broadcast. He's like, you know, when Carolina had that drive where they scored, you know, their touchdown, that's where Greg Olsen said, this is what Carolina needs to do. They need to do the waggles, the boots. They need to get the ball to Thielen, and they need to run the ball.
Yeah.
They don't need to think about anything else right now. They need to try and help their quarterback. And, you know, fortunately, you played against the quarterback, as Patrick said, wasn't interested in running. The one time he did run, he did some ridiculous fake thing where the ball comes flying out of his hand, you know, and now you get a turnover right there. Mm-hmm. But you know, that was a tough game on a couple different levels. Again, having to deal with the run, it kind of reminded you, when you're not disciplined, when you jump gaps, when you try and run around blockers, when you don't play square, you know, you're going to get gashed. And there are going to be some better teams down the road that are going to probably try and run the ball on you.
And speaking to the discipline aspect of it, one of the main things Mike McCarthy talked about going into this game, the Cowboys are 2-3 on the road. He said, you got to get the penalties reeled in. You got to get them reeled in. That, I think, was the sixth Panthers drive, is how I have it noted here. You start off, you 4th-and-2, right? Well, first of all, you get the penalty. It's holding on the punt. They said it was on Carolina. They changed it to the Cowboys. That put Carolina on the 30-yard line. You're helping them with field position. Then you get a Sam Williams penalty. You get them off the field. Yeah. They're punting on 4th-and-2.
Oh, no. Yeah.
You run into the kicker. Automatic first down. And from there, Bryce started to kind of get going with Adam Thielen. And then it turns into a 17-play touchdown drive. And it all began with a penalty. Right. And then that drive was extended by a penalty. So if you don't suffer those penalties, if you're the Cowboys, you probably end up getting a 40-plus point game out of this, because you're going to get good field position off of that punt and kind of move down. So that was a momentum shifter. So that's a lesson to be taken away from the Cowboys on the road. When Mike McCarthy's talking about doing away with these penalties or minimizing them, this is why. It's because it gives teams, particularly the other home team, some kind of momentum to say, hey, we can do this. Stop giving them 15 yards, 10 yards, 5 yards. When it's time to get off the field, your defense has earned it. Let them get off the field before they get tired.
I thought at that point the game was kind of, it just canceled or balanced itself out, because I think I believe, when the Cowboys got the roughing the passer, where they hit Dak, that Dak took off. Yeah, I thought that was a bad call. Like, why?
No, that was elbow to the head.
You can't hit. You can't hit a quarterback in the head.
He had already given up. He had already given up, and he came in with the forearm to the head. That's textbook.
I didn't see the forearm hitting.
Yeah, it was forearm to the head.
But either way, that looked very close. Like, you get out of the pocket. You're now a runner. You're running, and then while the guy is already diving in, how are you supposed to stop?
It doesn't matter, really.
When the quarterback gives him up,
I don't think it's fair. I don't.
Yeah, join the chorus of all the other people out there that saying the same thing. But the rules are, and I think the NFL knows that it's unfair to defensive players, but that's how badly they want this out of the game, because they don't want a quarterback taking a shot to the head in that kind of position. And it is unfair, because if you watch what the quarterbacks do, the smart quarterbacks anyway, what they do is they run, and they will actually give you that look like, oh, am I going to slide? And it makes the defensive guy kind of step for a second. If the defensive guy doesn't commit, they're probably going to keep running. Now, if they do commit, then they'll go down, and now they get hit, right? So it's like it's a no-win for the defensive guy if the quarterback plays the right way.
It's not fair.
The one that's the worst to me is a quarterback along the sidelines that runs and looks like he's going out of bounds, and then goes another eight yards, steps back, you know, and then kind of like you could blast him out of bounds, or you could just pull up and let him go out of bounds. But some of these quarterbacks are like, I'm going to run, and I'm going to be along the sidelines, and I know you're not going to blast me here, so I'll run for another 8 yards, and then I'll get out of bounds. Yep. You know, those are the guys that are, like, giving up, but they're really not giving up.
Yeah. The quarterback has every advantage in this situation.
It's very frustrating. But I think the Cowboys were able to get into the end zone eventually because of the help of that penalty.
Well, the push on Turpin was stupid. Yeah. That penalty was stupid.
Right, because he had nothing to do with the play. Plays play over. He's about to help his guy up, and then he comes gets pushing the back. So, I mean, no, they earned those poor penalties. And then kudos to the Cowboys for after the Panthers make it a one-score game with that 17-play drive. What do they do? March down the field, and then you see Tony Pollard look very much like a 2022 Tony Pollard on that play.
That was his best run of the year, in my opinion.
Shout out to Hunter Lipke on that lead block, by the way.
Hey, you know what? And I've been wanting to say Hunter Lipke hadn't been a great blocking fullback. Like, earlier in the season, Brian, I know you and I had that conversation. Like, you watch him on film, it's like, man, I don't know. Yesterday, he had some moments where I was like, okay, the blocking is starting to come along there.
He got run over on the touchdown run.
He did.
But you know what? The idea is make the guy, defender, go over the top of you to get to the ball.
There you go.
And if they run over you to do that, you're doing your job.
That's okay. You just want to occupy him. However you got to do it.
Get in his way.
All right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, I do want to talk a little bit about the Wildcat. We saw that a couple times yesterday. And so we'll talk about that. We'll be back. DallasCowboys.com radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Cowboys fans, after that move, we've just coined the term Rowdy Replay. Let's roll back the tape.
Okay, there's our mascot Rowdy cheering on the boys. And now he's on his phone on his Bank of America mobile banking app?
Staying on top of his finances with his virtual financial assistant, Erica.
Bank of America's digital tools are so impressive. Cowboys fans just can't stop banking. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/can't stop banking.
Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into Dear Doctor, the show where I answer life's questions with an ice-cold can of Dr. Pepper. Sheila, let's hear from our next caller, would you?
Dear Doctor, my friend supported me during a tough time, but what's the right gift that says, thanks for being a shoulder to cry on?
Okay, this one's easy. I say, give her a delicious Dr. Pepper. Nothing says, thanks, girl, better than a one-of-a-kind soda. Yes, any Dr. Pepper flavor will do. Now, just a reminder that I don't need to be a real doctor to know that Dr. Pepper
is the one you deserve.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
Back to the break.
The Salvation Army's 27th annual Red Kettle Kickoff returns to AT&T Stadium this Thanksgiving. Get excited to watch the one and only Dolly Parton rock the stage during halftime when the Dallas Cowboys go head-to-head with the Washington Commanders. Tune in at 3:30 on CBS.
Welcome back. It is the second segment of the break live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. This segment brought to you by blockchain.com. All right, so let's talk about Wildcat. Yesterday.
Can I ask something real quick?
Sure.
Dak with a Dolly Parton shirt on yesterday?
Yeah, yes, yes. Absolutely. Dolly.
Can we buy those?
Absolutely. Well, I don't know.
I think they may be available at some point.
Okay.
But yeah, yesterday he did wear the Dolly. Now, for those that don't know, Dolly Parton will be performing this Thursday. Said,
yeah, Red Kettle kickoff.
Right. At the game, at halftime.
Are the reads that bad? Am I not?
She has a whole new album.
In to my reads?
No, I got it. I'm just reiterating. reiterating that she will be out there and she will be performing her new, some stuff from her new album, Rockstar, and some stuff from her old collection, which
nine
she's
to
got
five.
Plenty of songs, right? But yeah, Dak had on the Dolly shirt. And, you know, it was a little. I love it. It was pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know when they're releasing it, but they're gonna be for sale.
Yeah,
for fans.
So Christmas time, we could all have a Dolly Parton shirt.
Hey, you know something? Maybe we all on this show will be rocking.
Well, there was a time where we wore like the throwbacks, like the Roger Staubach, Bob.
I still
Lilly.
Wear mine.
Yeah, yes. We still have those shirts. Yeah. I would, you know, a Dolly Parton shirt.
Would you like one?
I'd love one.
Okay, all right. So we know now. Brian wants one. Amber, make it happen. All right.
There it is.
All right. So let's talk about
the boss move right there.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the boss. I'm sorry. Let's talk about the boss. Let's talk about the Wildcat.
Yeah.
Yesterday, a couple times we saw Dallas line up with Dak out at receiver, and they had the running backs in the backfield, direct snap. Yeah. Neither worked. But what did you think of the concept of what they were trying to do?
It's one of those things that reminds me what coaches will do every once in a while. When it's a nationally televised kind of game, they'll throw in some wrinkles or something that like, oh, look how smart I am. You know, those kind of things. There just wasn't any reason at that point. I mean, you know, if you want to try it, if you feel like, was there something that led you to believe that Carolina against Wildcat was going to be, they were going to give up big plays or something like that? I don't know. I mean, it just, I never understand. I like plays. I like gadget plays. I hate plays that are cute. I hate cute plays, you know, and that to me seems very cute when you try and do stuff like that. But unfortunately, it didn't work, and hopefully they will never use those plays again.
You know what's interesting? I thought they were trying to set up something
well, they
for the future.
Did.
Well, with the whole Dak coming back around and the fake pitch, and my guess is—
But you got to block Brian Burns if you're going to do
this. But my point is, you got to make them work. Like, nobody's falling for any of the extra stuff that comes from a play if you can't get it to work in the first place. And But it was apparent they were trying to set up something for the future.
Up.
Even not for that game, if somewhere down the line they were trying to set up something where it's maybe a pitch and then maybe a pitch and a pass. Who knows?
I kind of feel like that if anybody on this staff needs to run fake plays, it's Bones Fossil. Because he comes up with some stuff that you're kind of going.
We haven't seen a lot of that.
Boom. Yeah, there we go.
Well, we've not seen a lot of that.
You do know that.
Okay,
it's foreshadowing.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But we got a nationally televised game coming up where the whole world's going to be watching.
Yeah.
Bones Fossil is going to have a – I wish he would have saved his Golston fake field goal, though. You know, I wish he would have saved that one. He used that one, I think, too early in the season.
Yeah.
You know, throwing the ball to Golston there, but – I don't know. I think that, to me, I love special teams fake plays.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of the Wildcat stuff and all that. If it's short yardage and all that, I get it. As they're struggling to try and score down in the red zone, and, you know, you're kind of like, okay, think of something different here. Don't be doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like them.
You like them when they work, right? When they don't work.
Yeah, that's one of those things where, like, in basketball, you're like, don't shoot that. Swish. Yeah. Great shot. But, yeah, it's just – that's one of those things. What was kind of weird, Cowboys, like the Tony Pollard 10-yard loss, I mean, you were threatening. You were moving. Yeah. You were only up one score. You know, the thought process is get in the end zone and really start to kind of pull away from these guys. And they kind of pulled the trickery out. And you wonder if they just wanted to see if it would work. And or maybe, like you said, they were kind of setting up for down the road, and other teams that are watching film, when they see it, they think this is what's going to be run out of it. But then, ha-ha, I got you. It's going to run something else. But, I mean, just looking at the Pollard play, for example, the direct snap to Pollard, I mean, that play was blown up from minute one.
Yeah.
Lou had him dead to rights on the right side, and if you were even remotely thinking about handing it back to Dak to run and scramble on the left side, it was done on that side as well. So there was nowhere to go. Coverage was downfield. You only had two guys going downfield anyway. Yeah, so I don't know specifically why try it in that situation versus when you're already when you already have a 2 or 3 possession lead, which would then go more to okay, let's see if this works. So yeah, I'm sure, you know, this won't be the last time we see it, but one of the only times I looked at the game in real time and was like, okay, Mike, that ain't it. That ain't the one. Yeah. That ain't the one. So many other times I looked at the game and I was like, ooh, that's the one. But those two times I was like, that ain't it.
Lined up a receiver. I'm like, ooh, okay, let's see this. And then seconds after, before they even snap the ball, you're like, I don't really like this. Well, and then they snap the ball, and then you hear the announcer, the press box, and a zero gain on the play. And you're like, then you feel a secondhand embarrassment. That's how I felt. I felt embarrassed.
Well, see, the thing you worry about
is the way he pushed Tony, like, get out of here, and then went and tackled him. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, you worry about that, like, it when you talk about the mesh points and stuff like that, too. Yeah. If his, say, Pollard gets hit and he's trying to, but now the ball's flying, you know, on the ground, and everybody, and now Dak's trying to dive on the ball. Your quarterback's in there trying to dive on the ball. And yeah, it's just, again, it's Mike, just that's what he's got, a big old play sheet, you know. I mean, he just needs to cross that.
That was very Kellen-ish. I'll put it that way. Yeah. Those two Wildcats, they're very Kellen-ish. Leave Kellen situationally
alone.
Speaking,
leave Kellen alone.
No, I'm saying that
he's got enough problems over there.
My man needs to take that Boise job.
Right, they got enough problems over there where he is. I did want to flip to the defensive side of the ball, and I want to take two things you guys said. I want to put them together. You talked about how, you know, how well Bland is playing right now, and Brian, you talked about one of the challenges in this game was they didn't really have an answer for Adam Thielen.
No.
And I heard a question this morning that I thought was a really astute question. I think it was Bobby that threw it out Sean and RJ this morning. One of them threw it out. I can't remember which one it was, but it was a really good question. And they were like, is it time for Bland to travel? Because the thing about it, typically you're like, I don't know if I want to travel my guy because can he go into the slot? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, he can go into the slot. Yeah. He can play all over the field. He is obviously playing at a level that's elite. Do you put him, and especially when you're going up against a team like Carolina where there was one receiving threat? There was one. Yeah. And do you neutralize that one receiving threat? Or if you're playing a team that has a dominant and some other guys, do you neutralize the dominant threat or the secondary threat and then double the dominant? You can do a lot of things with it. My question is it time for the Cowboys to start considering Bland as a cornerback that should travel?
I think that's situational to who you're going up against. So, for example, you're about to go up against the Washington Commanders. You know about Scary Terry. You know about Terry McLaurin. You also know his challenges against Trevon Diggs and some of the elite corners in the league. So, Terry, he can take over a game, but I would consider it against McLaurin and the Commanders because there's not that secondary threat that's anywhere equal. But then you go up against a team like the Seahawks, can't really travel because you got Lockett and then you got Metcalf, and it's like pick your poison there. So you're going to have to ask a guy like Stephon to kind of step up on that in that role as well. I just think it's situational. I don't think you go into any particular week saying, or I don't think you make the blanket statement is what I'm saying, and saying going forward, De'Ron Bland needs to travel with whomever their primary is. I think to your point, you got to look at who the secondary is and go from there. It would be nice to see him travel against the Commanders, but when the Seahawks come to town, I don't want to see him travel. It doesn't matter what boundary he's on, he's going to have a top shelf receiver on that boundary. So just let him cook in that aspect.
I kind of feel like that I would just every once in a while play him in nickel in the slot, and it no rhyme or reason. Mm-hmm. Just every once in a while show people that he could still go in there and play, you know, because a lot of teams will put their best receiver inside, and then the Cowboys do it with CeeDee Lamb quite a bit, you know, the routes he gets from the slot. I don't think it's a travel situation. I just think let him go play slot. You know, maybe two or three times a game, you just show that he has the ability. And maybe it makes opponents look going forward, say, okay, there's a possibility if we put our guy in the slot. Now, it's just not an automatic. You know, now it's an automatic where, okay, we're going to get Lewis in the slot. But if you put it in people's minds that he will walk inside and play, then you can't bank on it. It's something that throws off, you know, the teams, you know, when they start to prep and they look at tendencies and all that. It's like, wait a minute, now you're getting outside, you know, you're getting outside Bland, but wait, now there's 15% of the time he's playing slot reps too. And it's just something to throw them off that they can't just 100% of the time you're going to get Lewis in the slot.
Yeah.
You're just trying to kill their metrics a little bit on it, maybe.
If you do that, how do you feel about the fact that now Jordan's going to be on the boundary? Do you feel confident he can do that?
I bring in a McQuamu or somebody like that. I just every once in a while I'm going to take Lewis off the field. Or maybe, I think it's a good chance to maybe get McQuamu or somebody else ready. We've learned this. I mean, yeah, the college football season's almost over. The pro season's still got, seven more weeks, mm-hmm. right?
Seven more regular season.
You're going to need McQuamu here before this thing's all said and done. I just know, again, instead of like him being – he played very well the last few weeks of the season, but maybe get him more reps or get somebody at corner more reps. And you don't have to do it every single time, like I said, mm-hmm. but you do it maybe two or three times a game to kind of throw people off that they can't 100% with certainty say, we're getting Lewis every time in the slot. Well, no, you're not. They've walked Bland in there playing. You know, we can't say that with any certainty right there.
Yeah.
We can't set this up where we might get Bland. You don't know. They might put Bland in there on us mm-hmm. once they see us go inside like that.
Especially in critical situations. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think both things that you said can both be true at mm-hmm. once, and you can do both at once where, depending on who the opponent is, right. you change him up, and on certain days that he's staying still on one side,
yeah.
you move him to the nickel and yeah. back and forth. So I think both things can be done, and just don't become predictable. Don't become
right. exactly.
yeah.
like,
exactly.
this is what this guy does. We know he's great. We know how good he is with his hands, interceptions, and all of that. Let's figure out another game plan. I don't like when things become that you're. I don't want to use the word consistent because consistent usually right. used.
You want consistency. You want
consistency.
Predictability.
But you want your quarterback to be consistent.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But change it up and do all kinds of things to keep them guessing all the time.
I think they're going to play some people down the road. You know, if it's the San Franciscos again, or there's, you know, Philadelphia Miami. For sure, Miami. Yeah.
Right.
Create a little doubt as they prep for that game. No. Hey, if we do this, well, hell, we still might see that guy in the slot. Yeah. They might commit to it this game. Just create a little doubt.
And the thing is with Bland, he's so football aware. He's so smart that you don't have to worry about messing him up getting confused, getting
thrown
up.
Some people believe he's a better nickel guy, a better slot guy than on the outside. And he's played phenomenally on the outside. So
yeah, I think he can do both, absolutely. I don't think it would throw him off or confuse him or anything. I think if anyone could handle that, it would be him.
All right, let's take our final break. We'll come back. I got some questions for you guys about the NFC. It's getting really interesting, and the matchups that are going to be coming up over the next 4 to 5 weeks with these teams that are at the top of the division will be very interesting. We'll come back. We'll talk about that when we come back. DallasCowboys.com radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Don't put off getting your oil changed, Dallas. Take 5 Oil Change, a proud partner of the Cowboys, is faster than you think. There's no appointment needed and no waiting room. Yep, You heard that correctly. Take 5 is so fast, you don't even have to get out of your car. You can take advantage of Take 5's fast, friendly, and simple service at any of their locations across the Dallas area. And remember, at Take 5, you stay in your car because they're faster than you think. Take 5, the official oil change of the Dallas Cowboys.
It's the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. And right now, Cowboys fans can get 15% off their $75 order. Plus, because every deal needs a playmaker, your order will include a free 5-piece skincare set and free shipping. The Jack Black Playmaker is 4 of Jack's favorites and a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Make a play for the Playmaker at getjackblack.com/cowboys with the code COWBOYSVIP. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys with the code COWBOYSVIP.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
Back to the break.
Tis the season for youth football and dance camps presented by Invisalign. Don't miss your chance to learn from the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders and former NFL players at AT&T Stadium on December 22nd and 23rd. Celebrate the holidays with the Cowboys. Register today at dallascowboys.com/camps.
Welcome back. It is the final segment of The Break Live in the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. Let's talk a little NFC. I was looking at some of the schedules of the teams that are at the top of the NFC. You got Philadelphia is at 8-1. They play tonight against Kansas City. You got Detroit at 8-2. You got
yes, do it.
And then you got San Francisco at 7-3.
Let's go,
Dallas at 7-3. Seattle 6-4. Minnesota 6-5. New Orleans 5-5. And then I started looking at the schedules of who everybody has to play. So the first thing you look at, obviously, Dallas is going to have a tough – this is going to start their gauntlet, obviously. Mm-hmm. They got Washington at home, which, again, is a division game. Not a great team, but a division game. But then you got Seattle, Philly, at Buffalo, at Miami, Detroit. Tough five games. You look at San Francisco, the next four games they've got – next five games, sorry. They got at Seattle, at Philadelphia, Seattle again, at Arizona, and then Baltimore. Then you got Philly. They got Kansas at Kansas City, Buffalo, San Francisco, Dallas, Seattle. Check out what Detroit has going on. Green Bay at New Orleans, at Chicago, Denver, Minnesota, Dallas, Minnesota. Start looking at that, and one of these doesn't fit with the rest of them.
Right.
Who do you think has the best shot at being the number one seed when it's all said and done?
Well, we were talking about it during the break. It could be Detroit based upon the scheduling. And now, of course, and we say this every week, the other team gets paid too, so can't overlook anyone. Because, for example, look at the Bears. The Bears, you know, were able to get their win yesterday. The Cowboys just need to make sure they handle their business effective right now. And they are so far, so hopefully they handle it against the Commanders, because here comes a Seahawks team that's looking to bounce back next week and kind of get off on a run. The Eagles, they're going up against a gauntlet starting today. Massive, massive game between them and the Chiefs. Go Chiefs. And then from there, I mean, outside of Minnesota, Cowboys, Minnesota, like that three-game sandwich for the Lions – they have an easier role, let's put it that way.
I would add a game to that. The Broncos are kind of playing like
the
Broncos won. I mean, now
what is it, four straight, five straight?
Four straight, I think.
Four straight. Yeah.
And they were 1-5. Now they're 5-5.
And Denver's Detroit's got that game at home, but after it's Green Bay, Thanksgiving, New Orleans, Chicago. Okay, you should be okay there. Now it goes Denver, Minnesota, Dallas, Minnesota, like you guys were talking about. Those two Minnesota games. Minnesota's kind of figuring something out, too. I know they had the loss to Denver last night, but if they're playing for a playoff spot and position, that could be a pretty tough game.
Getting Justin Jefferson back. That could be a big boon for them. Yeah.
I think you have to add Denver to the four, you add the three games. But the fact that they play Minnesota and Dallas and then Minnesota again, that could be something, a sneaky, tough little run for the Lions there.
Looking at the Cowboys' schedule, when you say, you know, worry about your own business,
mm-hmm. what we race, got going on.
And it's going to be, it's
a rough December.
Yeah. That's going to be rough. But let me ask you guys this question.
I wanted Buffalo to quit.
They were about ready to quit.
They're firing coaches.
Yeah.
Their guy continues to turn the ball over.
Yeah, they're right.
And
there.
All of a sudden the Jets show up and say, feel good about yourselves now.
Right there.
You know?
Yeah.
So
let's put you right back in the race. You're good. Go get them.
Miami's struggling beating good teams. I mean, that's something that, you know, you just never know about these teams. Miami, though, scares me to death, though, with the explosiveness they have.
I think, and when you talk about the top NFC teams like the 49ers and the Eagles, for example, now on this part of the season, we're hitting the war of attrition because Dallas Goedert's not going to play tonight for the Eagles. N'Kobe Dean is down, and then flip over to the 49ers, and they suspect that Hufanga might have suffered a torn ACL, one of the best defensive backs, arguably the best defensive back they have. So the top NFC teams, they're starting to hit adversity. The Cowboys had already hit their adversity. They've long lost Trevon Diggs and figured it out with De'Ron Bland. They've long lost Leighton Vander Esch and figured it out with Marquise Bell. So the adversity that usually hits the back end of the season hit the Cowboys in the first half, and they've already got it figured out, knock on wood, that no others. But these other top NFC teams outside of the Lions, they're starting to lose some key guys, so that's going to matter also.
What game out of the remaining games of the schedule for the Cowboys would you foresee a loss?
Detroit.
Against Detroit.
I think Detroit's got some San Francisco tendencies to them that give the Cowboys some problems. Physical on the offense and defensive line. You know, they're skill guys that think are pretty good, and they got a quarterback that really doesn't turn the ball over. They do run the ball really, really well. You know, you look at what Detroit does. I mean, they play with a certain level of physicality. The great thing for the Cowboys, in my opinion, is you're playing at home. I think you clearly have a home field advantage here. I really do.
I was going to say that's also the reason why I think at Miami is going to be a tougher game for them to win, because I think the speed's going to be a problem.
Right.
I think the temperature and the humidity could be a problem, because, again, the Cowboys will have not played or practiced in that in quite a while, mm-hmm. and that's how Miami is all the time. It's going to be hot. It's going to be humid. And I think on the road, right? So you look at all those things, I think Miami's going to be one of the toughest games the Cowboys have left on their schedule. And it doesn't matter as much because it is an AFC team, so it doesn't kill you with a lot of tie breaks, but I think it's going to be a hard game.
I think they could deal with the heat better than they can deal with the cold in Buffalo.
That's actually going to be a good question.
We live in heat and humidity. We understand it. We used to have a great advantage in Green Bay when people would come up there and play late in the year. That, you know, it's 5 below 0 and you're not.
It's Rocky 3. You go into the Arctic to fight. I'm just saying
that cold affects the way you play. More the heat, you could kind of survive.
Before we leave and end the show, just for the fun of it, real quick, win or lose for the rest of the season, Cowboys at home versus Commanders.
Win. Are we doing win loss?
Huh? Yes. Okay.
All right.
Is Colt McCoy playing quarterback for the Commanders?
Welcome.
We'll see.
No, he's not. I'm just kidding.
He's not.
You never know what
happens.
Okay,
yes, win.
What is it, the lady?
She's a strange lady.
Strange lady.
I got to get T-shirt.
What lady are we talking about?
The NFL's right. a strange lady.
Cowboys at home versus Seattle.
Win.
Cowboys at home versus Eagles.
Win.
Okay.
God, we're sounding like homers now. Here
away,
we go.
Away.
And now it gets interesting.
Buffalo. In Buffalo.
Loss.
I think that's a loss.
Loss.
Yep. Yeah.
Damn. Okay. Cowboys in Miami.
Loss.
Okay. Cowboys at home. Detroit.
Win.
Okay.
Maybe.
And then win. Commanders.
And then they're 12-5.
I think they're going to lose two more.
So two more.
I think they're going to lose two more. And I think it's going to be those two road games, but I don't know. Maybe it's not.
Watch it be both of the Commanders.
Stop. Strange lady.
The lady can take a nap.
All right. We appreciate you guys, Jonas. We'll be back tomorrow. We're going to jump right into this Cowboys versus Commanders. Brian will give us a lowdown on the Commanders offense versus the Cowboys defense. We'll be back. Dallas Cowboys. We'll see you guys tomorrow for Patrick Walker, Brian Broaddus, Amber Garcia. I'm Derek Eagleton. This has been The Break live on DallasCowboys.com radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?